Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, July 29th, 2025. Happy August. It's only 3 days away. We are just blasting through summer here. And it's just interesting. It's just interesting how time just keeps moving. You know, of course it's going to keep moving, but when you just stop and think about, geez, it seems like I was just doing this yesterday, you know, and you're doing it 3 weeks after. It's just an interesting thing, our concept of time. But we are getting ready to move into August. And August, I think, in summertime is the greatest month of change, because to me, summer just follows spring. Summer is just an extension of spring, a hotter extension of spring. But August is that transition time, at least here in the States, I think, and in Colorado, kids go back to school in August. So things start changing, energy starts changing, and that feels good. That feels good. But anyway, and in August, my son's birthday and other Leo friends that I have, so it'll be a fun month. Well, right now I just want to, again, say thank you for joining me, and I am very happy to be here talking to you. This show is streaming live on YouTube. If you'd like to join the chat there, just go to 12radio.com and click the YouTube chat link posted under my banner. And please feel free to comment or ask questions about the teaching segment. I'll answer them after the show, or whatever questions you might have. I'll answer them out after the show. If you would like a reading from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm available usually mid to later morning Pacific time into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I happen to be busy on another call, just put in a callback request or schedule a call. I'm notified immediately via text and we'll get back to you as soon as I can. And I will always do my best to meet your schedule for a schedule call. So I would love to work with you. I would love to work with you, whether it's a reading, a healing, whatever it is. I'd love to work with you. It would be my honor and blessing. Also, to remind you, we have reduced rates a few times a week on 12listen, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. And that means lower prices on calls and chats. If you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And all that entails is you leave your email address. My welcome summer 15-minute time-based session is still available on my bio page on 12listen.com. And it's just about, which is what they all are. I do seasonal time-based sessions, and they are all about moving out, releasing energetic blocks that keep you from being part of the season that you're in. You know, shining your light in summer, blooming, growing, being available for new beginnings in spring. Fall is about just coming back, having the harvest, harvesting what you've planted, what you've intended. And then winter is just being in winter, you know, enjoying the coziness and the comfort of winter. So all it is, you know, we are self-complete. We are self-complete. We're the individualization of source. We are light. But the things that keep us from shining our light are those energetic blocks, which really break down to limiting beliefs and expectations. So when you get those out of the way, it's a whole lot easier to be where you are and enjoy it. So it's a 15-minute time-based session, and we do a lot of work in 15 minutes. So the other thing I want to remind you about is the gratitude board on 12listen.com. You just post what you're grateful for, whether it's in your experience or not. The advisors of 12listen will add our intention to yours. And the best part of it is you can post anonymously. So why not? It's a way that we help support you, and we are very happy to do that. So please take advantage of that. And as always, I always go through this at the beginning of my show. My reminders and my reminders. So I just want to thank you again for listening, however and when you do, to 1-2 Radio. There is programming on 1-2 Radio 24/7, and there are archives of all the shows from all the hosts in the on-demand section at 1-2radio.com. You can download them anytime you want. 1-2 Radio is a great source of inspiration, information, and support, and it all comes through the passion of many different voices. So there's a lot to take advantage of, and I invite you to do so. So right now, and I'm kind of jamming along here because I've got a lot to talk about in the teaching segment, but I just want to say thank you to Serena for producing the show today and for all that she does for us at 1-2radio.com. So let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song called Dancing for a Vision by David and Steve Gordon from the Buddha Lounge 3 CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it. It'll make a nice segue into what I'm going to talk about. I'll be back right after. You're listening to Empowerment, and I'm very happy that you're with me today. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. I thought it made a lovely segue into the teaching segment. So what I want to talk about today, actually the overall topic, and I think it's going to take us into at least one more show, maybe more, is repeating patterns. And this is a big topic, and I want to cover it well. So we're going to just take the time it takes to get through it. And it's really funny. Whenever I have like something like this, you know, or the last couple of shows were dedicated to the concept and the principle, so to speak, of being the beholder, you know, of surrendering and then just trusting, you know, resting in source and beholding, you know, I'm beholding God in me as my answer in every moment, and how that just took on a life of its own, and more and more information kept coming. Same thing happened when I started thinking about repeating patterns. Those words just popped into my head, I don't know, a week or so ago. And then different things happen. You know, I get something in my email that is like, oh, yeah, that goes along with it. I had lunch with a friend. The conversation is like, oh, my gosh, here we go. You know, there's just so many places in our lives where patterns repeat. And usually if they're repeating patterns, and what we're talking about are the ones that aren't so great. You know, what I mean by repeating patterns is, well, first of all, I want to say we all experience them in one way or another. The best examples I can give quickly are like, you know, the great new job. Oh, I got a great new job. And then in a couple of months, it ends up being just like the one you had before and the one that you had before that. Because if you're dissatisfied in a situation, whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, no matter what it is, what needs to be addressed is the cause of your dissatisfaction. And that is not the people outside of you. That's not your boss. That's not the person you're dating or seeing. That's you and what you believe about your experience. So until we change us, if we leave one job, and just job as an example, to find something better, and we don't change ourselves, we can't find something better. The something better, pretty soon the shine's going to be off it. And we're going to be back to the place where we've not resolved what it is that we believe, what it is that we need to do in order to have a new experience. So it's really important. I mean, it's an important concept, because it goes for everything. You know, these are big things when I talk about a new job or a new person, you know, a new relationship. The new person that you're dating, you know, that ends up being the same person that you've dated over and over, just in a different suit, you know, in a different body. Again, that's not going to change until you change your beliefs and expectations about relationship. I mean, if you don't like it, it all comes down to you. You know, every single thing points to us. Everything. Because we are supreme in our own orbit. We are the center of our own universe. And our world is us pushed outward. So everything is a reflection of us, of our state of consciousness, of our self-concept, everything. And when we know that, the good thing about knowing that, well, it's brilliant to know that, because you can change anything. And that's the good thing about knowing it. If you know what it is, you can change it. You can change it. You're not stuck. You're the individualization of source. All that is lives you. Lives you. And it is limitless. So, you know, I've just given you new jobs and dating, but there are many, many examples of repeating patterns. But Again, the reason why we continue to experience the same thing over and over in a different place is because we do have something to change within ourselves in order to move past them. So, you know, we attract to ourselves what we are. What you vibrate at, you attract. You call to yourself your own regarding, you know, regardless of what your own is, depending on the experience or the situation, according to your self-concept and your beliefs. If you want to change your experience, again, there's no one to change but yourself. And that takes courage. And not only does it take courage, but it takes neutrality. Because in order to really look at things, maybe real, real sore spots or bad experiences, hurts, pain, judgment, self-judgment, you know, to do that from the place of the neutral observer, to just kind of, again, stand outside yourself and just observe, like you're looking at a film, you know, or a newspaper, but without emotion. The thing about being in neutrality is it eliminates emotion. So you can really see things for what they are and see situations and people and see you just as you are. And again, without judgment, just looking at that, looking at you, looking at the situation, looking at what's happening in the situation. If you're in an emotional state, maybe it's a better, more English way, speaking English way to say that, you have no idea what's going on because you are wrapped up in your emotion. And so that's the filter that you're seeing this whole situation through. So you're not seeing it for what it is at all. You're being pulled and motivated by how you feel about it. So being in a neutral state, you know, looking at what you believe about yourself in regard to the experience that you want to change, the repeating pattern that you want to stop repeating. Because no matter what, at the bottom of every single experience, good, bad, or indifferent, is a belief. Period. And when you find out what that belief is, it vanishes because it has no power. Beliefs are not true. They have no power. They have no law unto themselves other than what we give them. So it's an incredible thing. It's an incredible practice. And I'm just going to talk about steps in beginning it and following through with it. Stuart Wilde said, "When you take responsibility for everything in your life, it's like a gate swings wide open and you're available for change." So step one is taking responsibility. Responsibility for whatever is sitting in your lap because you brought it there. Good, bad, or indifferent. It would not be in your experience if you did not have the consciousness for it. So taking responsibility, though, means not blaming anyone or anything, not even yourself. It's just having it. And what I mean by that is, again, seeing it neutrally. It is what is. It is what is in this present moment. And I accept it. Acceptance is the same thing as taking, it has the same effect, I should say. Maybe it is the same thing as responsibility, but it has the same effect. When you quote unquote have something, just accept it, whether no matter how you feel about it, a weight drops off your shoulders because you're not fighting it. So, you know, if you just have it and realize again that if it's in your experience, you attracted it. Knowingly or not, because you really truly can only live what you believe, what you have the consciousness for. and consciousness is the cause of everything. What we experience is the effect of our consciousness. So step two is really looking at your self-concept, looking at what you believe about yourself. Because again, you're it. You're it. You are supreme in your own orbit. It doesn't matter what anybody else believes. Doesn't matter what anybody else's opinion is. Doesn't matter what anybody else tells you. It doesn't. Remember Dr. Seal last week, if you heard the show, anyone else's opinion of you has nothing to do with you until and unless it becomes your opinion or your thought. Anyone else's thought about you. He used the word thought. But that's just it. It's us, supreme in our own orbit. So really looking at our self-concept is how we change our experience, changing our self-concept. Reverend Ike said, you can never be greater than your own self-concept because your self-concept defines what you can have. That is a big deal. That's a big deal. That's worth a sticky note. You can never be greater than your own self-concept because your self-concept defines what you can have. Neville defined self-concept as all that you accept and consent to as your concept of self. So the starting point for changing your self-concept is understanding where it came from. The effect that any person or thing has on us is completely dictated by our perception. And our perception is influenced by our judgments and opinions of what is good or bad, right or wrong. Joel Goldsmith said, "The mind is an interpreter, an avenue of awareness, a translator, so to speak, of spiritual creation. God is the substance of everything there is. Give up all concern for form and attain the conscious awareness of God as the substance of the reality of our being. God is. I am covers it all. There, God fills all space. There is nothing and no one outside of God's grace." Period. But, and he goes on to say, "There is no material creation, just a material sense of spiritual creation and of God. The entire universe is embedded in your consciousness. The universe as form is an activity of consciousness, the interpretation of the mind. The mind interprets based on four influences: prenatal influence, early environment, education, and personal experience. These influences make up who we are as humans. They are our filters, and they compel us to see things as we do. The physical consists of spiritual emanations of God, but the mind, the human mind, interprets the physical through those influences. So we never truly see what's before us. All that is in heaven is on earth, but it's perceived through our influences and the instrument of the mind, and forms take on the background of the mind perceiving them." So think about that. I think a great example of that, forms take on the background of the mind perceiving them. Think about people, maybe you, if you have siblings, and you know, you all grew up in the same house, you all grew up with the same parents, but everybody has a different experience, right? Because everybody has different influences, those things that are just part of us. What the things that were that we acquired beginning when we showed up on Earth, you know, when we were born. But that's, anyway, I'll go on because I just get kind of lost in, you know, all forms take on the background of the mind perceiving them. Explains a lot, doesn't it? that just explains a whole lot. That's worth, you know, that's worth taking into meditation for the next few months. But those influences, U.S. Anderson called those influences prompters. And he wrote, conceptual habits of the conscious mind are the greatest bar to man's discovery of himself. No one consciously wants to be sick. No one consciously wants to be poverty-stricken, unloved, unsuccessful. Yet, if he has them, just as surely as there's life, he has ordered them for himself. He is the victim of prompters set into the subconscious mind by the conscious mind. They have been buried by the conscious mind, much as a forgetful dog might bury a bone, remembering neither the place of burial nor even the fact of burial. These prompters in the subconscious mind are responsible for the great hordes of unhappy people who now troop to psychiatrists. They've spread more mischief for individual lives and for humanity as a whole than any other single thing. They have given the world insecurity, hostility, greed, corruption, and hate. They are the broken keys in a divine instrument. They have thrown mankind out of tune with the infinite. They are the lock that bars the door to self-realization, capital S. These prompters are rejections of the conscious mind, buried in the subconscious and long forgotten. They are primarily pain experiences, and thus are primarily negative, attracting and creating lack and limitation and disease and unhappiness. And that's from U.S. Anderson's book, Three Magic Words. So think of it like this. He called them rejections of the conscious mind. Okay, so we have an experience. This experience is negative. We feel bad about it. We stuff it. We just push it back. We push it out of our mind. We got to get that out of our mind. Got to get that out of my mind. I can't stand it. I got to get it out of my mind. But when we do that, they just drift into our subconscious. And we forget about them, but they come back again. You know, they come back again because they come back as a memory. Or in my education, prompters, we call these prompters programs, limiting beliefs that we take on usually as children from people in authority over us. And remember, we are eternal. So we've had many childhoods, many influences, many, many, many. So we take on as babies. Well, let me say that a different way. The people that were in authority of us believed what they gave us. They believed it. So it was already a belief in the human race mind, let's call it that, or the thought atmosphere. Or universal consciousness, which we all navigate through every single day that we are in an incarnation in a body on this planet. And that thought atmosphere contains the beliefs, the emotions of every person who has ever been on this planet, ever. And so we're influenced by those. They are not us, but we are influenced by those as well. By that universal consciousness. And if we are sensitive at all, if we're empathic at all, that can hurt. You know, it can really hurt. But back to what I was talking about in the form of programs, the people that, you know, that we've taken on programs from, they believed what they gave us. And I'm talking in the light of, I think my feeling is in the scenario of them giving us the best that they had, right? But it's also beliefs that they gave us to keep us safe and alive until we could do that for ourselves. So there was a lot of fear in those, right? Don't do that or you might fall off the edge. Don't go out in the rain. You might get a cold. You know, don't talk to strangers, don't, you know, all of those things, which are wise advice for little children. But they rarely gave us wings. You know what I mean? They made us look like that was the building of our personality. Our personality is our ego. And ego wants to keep us safe and separate. So it wants us to believe that there's a whole lot of danger out there. You know, ego can make the world an enemy because it wants to keep us safe and separate. And it wants to be the boss. It wants to control. But the ego is a construct. It's made up of, same thing our influences are, past experience, childhood, early childhood environment, and feedback. You know, what we believe about ourselves, our self-concept, ego, and feedback from other people. But again, this is where it all gets started. Long, long time ago, when we first got here, you know, we took those on because these were the people that were responsible for our survival. You know, they put us to bed, they fed us, and I believe for the most part, they loved us. As babies, we came in limitless and free, fresh from the source, blank slates that were quickly filled up with the information contained in the human mind. And these are the beliefs that we hold in our subconscious, but don't consciously remember, that demonstrate in our experience. And, you know, the programs can be identified and erased. And I do a lot of that in my work. So I like to talk about them. And here's an example of a program in my according to what I do in my experience. It might make it a little easier to understand, or may give you just a different take on it, so to speak. So say you're doing just great. You know, you're doing great, you got a job you love, you're making money, you're happy, and all of a sudden you have this fear shoot through your body that says you're going to be living under a bridge. You're going to lose everything and be living under a bridge. Now, logically, it's just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's not true at all. But it is a fear. It is a program. It's a belief that gets stashed somewhere in our subconscious or in our energetic body. And all of a sudden, something lights it up. Maybe something you hear on the news. Maybe something someone said in a conversation. And all of a sudden, here it comes. Now, it is not true. It's totally irrational. But that feeling of fear, of panic, or whatever it is that shoots through your body, you felt that. That was real. That was real. But that's just an example. And then you get back to yourself. But that's how they work. And we all, and I can say pretty sure, certainly, we all have experienced things like that. And so, you know, just know for the next time, that's ridiculous. And yes, it is. And don't pay any more attention to it than that. Have the feeling, because the feeling's going to come. But, you know, feelings are messengers. They're just telling you how you're reacting to something, even if you don't know what you're reacting to. And let it pass. Let it pass. And then go back to celebrating that you're happy and successful and you love your job, or whatever the truth is in your experience is right now. But back to influences. Our influences, or filters, that's a good name for them as well, are the basis of our judgments, opinions, and beliefs. As humans, we believe in two powers, good and evil. And they are the basis of how we judge everything and everyone that comes into our experience. Our filters tell us what is good or evil, right or wrong. Everything outside of us in the material world is an effect of consciousness, not the cause of anything. But what we believe about them or how we judge them will be the effect they have on us. Because only consciousness is cause. So, again, it all comes down to our perception. There is only one power, and that is God, Source, Life, capital L-I-F-E. And it is not a power over anything. It is life. Eternal, immortal, infinite life, without end or opposite. Human, good and bad, are judgments, not power. Perceptions, not true. They're just based on our influences. As Shakespeare said, nothing is either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. If we stop and realize that there is no power external to us, we can become available for a different experience. There is no power outside of us. And anything that we believe, you know, we have experiences and things happen that aren't good. Yeah, they do. But they had things that happen that aren't good, again, came through our perception of them. We gave them that power. When we believe something is bad for us. It is bad because we believe it. And we can only live what we believe. But again, we can change all of it. We can change it. Joel Goldsmith said, if we could stop entertaining false concepts of good and bad, which again go back to our human influences, and stop judging people and experiences, the mind would bring all good to us. Our perceptions of good or bad, right or wrong, are not only how we humanly judge everything, but how we brutally judge ourselves. And those judgments create prisons of guilt, shame, unworthiness, etc. You name it. The truth is that we're the individualization of Source, eternal, immortal, universal, and infinite. God is the self of man, and therefore there is nothing missing. Nothing bad or wrong or evil in any of us. There can't be. There cannot be, because we are the individualization of Source. When guilt or remorse or regret shows up for something that we've done, who knows when, sacrifice it. Sacrifice it. You sacrifice it, in other words, surrender. I like sacrifice because when I sacrifice it, it's gone. You know, it's sacrificed to the void, to Brahman, to the universe. It's just out. It's how I offload things, you know. So when guilt or remorse or shame or any negative emotion shows up, offload it, sacrifice it, along with the mistake or memory or whatever caused it. Get rid of it. Surrender it to Source because it does not belong to you. It can't belong to you. It may have come from an experience you had, but holding on to it is something that you are doing. It has no power, even though they feel bad. They have no power. The past is dead, gone, and over. And the you that you are holding in condemnation is also dead and gone. A great exercise for releasing guilt is to ask yourself if, knowing what you know now, in your present state of evolution, would you do the same thing again? The thing that you're feeling guilty over. If the answer is no, and I'm pretty sure it's an emphatic no, you're forgiven because you have evolved past that previous state of consciousness. You are not that person anymore. The eternal now is all that exists. You're not even the same person that got up this morning because you've had experience since then that added to your evolution. Ram Dass said, spending time in guilt and shame for past mistakes just pushes God further and further away from you. And if you think about that, if you think about when you're, you know, in those spaces of, a lot of self-unforgiveness and guilt and shame and remorse and regret. When you're in that, you have just totally excluded the truth. You've totally excluded it. It's like when you're in a worry spin, you know, you're worried and worry compounds itself. Then you're totally unavailable for any positive influence because you're in emotion has cut you off from that. Your emotion that you are entertaining has cut you off from say you're worried about a problem. Well, you've totally excluded the solution to the problem because you're in the problem, right? What you focus on expands. Our attention is our superpower, good, bad, or indifferent. But I love that quote from Ram Dass. You know, it just pushes God further and further away from you. There is no condemnation in God. God's eyes are too pure to behold iniquity. When God sees us, God sees only God. God can only see God because there is only God. U.S. Anderson said, "We all make mistakes on our path to where we want to be. We learn from them. Decide that you'll only pay for a mistake once and let it go. God is in you, and God is not guilty." Joel said, "Only that which I release can be released in me. Anything that I hold is held against me. Whatever you release, you are released from. What you cling to is that which is binding you. You are your own liberator." I love that. You are your own liberator. The standards and rules that we hold for ourselves, that we would never inflict on another soul, come from our influences. They're not right or noble or true. They're beliefs that were passed on to us. But when we don't meet them, self-judgment comes to call. And we are horrible to ourselves because of erroneous beliefs. Think about that. Think about the things that, well, and the other part of it is the things that we hold as quote unquote rules. I like that because, you know, this is how you're supposed to be. This is what you're supposed to do. This is how you're supposed to conduct yourself. This is, you know, all of that. All of that. Are again, that come from our influences, are not in present time. They're not in present time. And again, they come from limitation and fear and restriction and control. But the thing is that the truth of our being is that we have everything. And the way we express the truth of our being, which is God, the way we demonstrate God, is just by living in integrity. And integrity is not human. Integrity is divine. So, you know, that's when those things come in, it's like, well, you should have done this. I should have done this. I should have gone to that school, or I should have of not gone to that party, or, you know, all of that stuff. Too late. We're beating ourselves up over something that cannot be changed, ever. Can't be changed. It happened, but it doesn't even exist anymore, because the only thing that exists is right now. So how do we conduct ourselves right now? Integrity, love, honesty, joy, forgiveness are right, noble, and true, because they are expressions of our divinity. And they are already not just a part of us, they are us. Excuse me. They don't come to us because of something that we do. We don't earn them. We can't earn them. God has no concept of unworthiness. You know, that's us. That's human. We couldn't be worthier because God is us, right? How could we be any more worthy for anything, you know, for it? How could we be any more worthy? We are the individualization of source. But you know, those things, those beautiful things that we want to experience, integrity, love, honesty, joy, forgiveness, freedom, are demonstrations of our infinite self, that which lives us. So they don't come to us, they come through us. And it's spending time in them, spending time practicing the presence, feeling that changing. When we have, you know, when we have a negative emotion or a negative experience, don't dwell in it. Don't dwell in it. It's a thing that happened. Okay, it happened. It happened. I'm in an incarnation. Could have done better. Didn't. On I go. On to the next thing. On to the next thing. Just focus on what you want, not what you don't. Sorry about my voice here. Step three is to realize that we are self-contained. The kingdom of heaven is within us. Because again, we are the individualization of source. Not part of it, but all of it. I'm going to take a sip of water here. I apologize for that. We're almost at the end here. Kicking up a little resistance. U.S. Anderson wrote, infinite, eternal, only one, and never changing. That to which all things are known and in which every physical object has its being. This is God, and all of God is in us this moment, right now, and all the moments to come. Knowing that there is no power external to you, that all that you could possibly need or desire is contained within your infinite self, within your soul, being, and consciousness, or within that God that is that lives you in you, you can stop looking to anyone or anything outside of you for validation. When you realize that you are self-complete, and again, we're in a human incarnation, and we're here to grow, and we only grow through adversity. So things come up that I think you can always go back to that foundation. My truth is, that is a foundation. That doesn't change. Everything that we could possibly need or desire is within us. God is, as Reverend Ike would say, God's got nothing more to give, because God is you. So that's our foundation. But things happen, you know, and we are navigating in this psychic sea, the human race mind, human consciousness. And some days we're brilliant and some days we're not so brilliant. And again, if we're sensitive, we catch stuff that we have to get rid of. But when we know the truth, we can put our weight down in it. We can go and get quiet. We can ground ourselves and just be still. Be still and practice the presence. But the last thing I want to share with you is part of the last newsletter I got from the Reverend Ike Legacy. And this was just perfect. This was one of the things that tapped me on the shoulder to talk about repeating patterns. They wrote, too many times, people look for someone else to make them happy when they haven't found happiness within themselves. And in a lot of cases, people look to other people for the answer to their problem instead of looking within. When you are right with yourself, then you will draw everyone to you who is right for you. That applies in your personal relationships, in love and friendship, as well as people you meet in business. Now, the opposite is also true. If you are wrong with yourself, then you will be constantly drawing the wrong kinds of people into your life who will also try to do you wrong. Part of being right with yourself and loving yourself correctly is being happy with yourself. Don't think it's anybody else's responsibility to make you happy. That's up to you. The prophet Isaiah said, "The word that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please." Your happy feelings about yourself will go before you and bring happiness into your life in other ways too. And I think that was a, well, actually, there was an affirmative treatment added to that. And I want to give that to you too, because it's powerful. I love Reverend Dyke. Right here and right now, I resolve to love myself correctly. I see myself as whole, happy, and healthy. The love of God in me draws to me all the right people for every right purpose. Because I am right with myself, everyone and everything is compelled to be right with me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God in me. Well, I think that was the perfect way to finish out this segment. When you change yourself, your concept of yourself, your experience will change. It has to. Your world is you pushed outward. If you're focused on being what you want from your world, being what you want from your world, giving to your world what you want to receive from it, your world will follow suit. Again, because it has to. I'm going to give you that quote one more time. You could never be greater than your own self-concept, because your self-concept defines what you can have. There's much more to talk about in regards to repeating patterns. Going forward, we'll talk about the places in our lives where those patterns have a tendency to repeat, relationships, jobs, family, even our bodies, and how to change our experience of them. Thank you for being with me today. I appreciate it very much. I'm Kelly Whetstone. You've been listening to Empowerment. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. I hope you have a very, very blessed week. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Bye, everyone.